Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. 15 minutes every afternoon. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, and how hopefully all of that stuff can somehow fit together as best as possible. First Friday of Lent, no mistakes yet for me with accidentally ingesting meat. That is something that happens. I had to run some errands. Of course, when you're out on Fridays and Lent and you see the fast food places that are known for all, you know, burgers and shakes, for instance, whatever you happen to be on the north side of our town here, you know what I'm talking about. And they're just that much more enticing. For whatever reason, you would not pay attention to them any other day. Fridays of Lent, it's like they're big beacons. They're just summoning you to come and unfortunately wreck your Lenten practices. So hopefully you're doing well, and we'll work through this together. I'm eating less, which means I'm chewing more, right? I chew more gum in Lent because it at least gives me a little bit of comfort there. Interesting stuff in this meeting today. We're going to unpack this a little bit with Pope Francis and the Russian Orthodox Patriarch Kirill. Big, big news. We're going to get into that and a whole lot more here in just a moment. Stick around. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. The intersections of those three, which a three-way stop's not nearly as confusing as a four-way stop, I've discovered. I know I've mentioned this before, but there's a four-way stop that I pretty much encounter on a daily basis. And it's just amazing what you see, because I know we barely pay attention anyway. Most of us are distracted. If we're not looking at our phones somewhere along the way, we're just not paying attention. And there is a sequential order to a four-way stop, as there is a three-way stop, but those are typically easier. But I believe this is why we see so many more traffic circles, right? The roundabouts. Our British friends got this right a long time ago. You don't stop. Just go on there and merge in, merge out. If you're turning left, you turn right. If you thought you were turning left, too bad. You're just going to go right. You're going to go around in a big circle, and you're going to take a right, right? So now, I don't know, in Great Britain, though, do they go left or do they go right in the traffic circle? I don't know about that. I do know, of course, the wheels on the other side of the car. Ethan is thinking how it works. But nonetheless, there's order. That's what I was getting at in all of this. And the interesting thing I think that we're seeing now, I mean, my goodness, you know, we're not in ordinary time, right? The time that is just ordered like the rest of the time. But Lent is usually monumentous in interesting ways. And I think that one thing I've seen in the past is the church typically gets attacked, right? You get a Da Vinci Code movie that's coming out, or you get something that is really anti-Catholic, and it's just designed, I believe, many times to try to take the legs out under the church. We see it at times of this time of the year, and I've noticed that. I paid attention to it. Now, one thing, of course, that you see this time of year, whether you even catch it or you're Catholic or whatever, but the fish sandwiches, the commercials are all over the place, right? They start, and we promote the heck out of them. And, of course, every parish with their own fish fry competing for the fast food places. But this Lent, my goodness, I think what we're seeing with the Pope's visit to Mexico, stopping off in Cuba for this historic meeting with the Russian Patriarch. And for me, if you know the message of Fatima, I think it just adds a deeper dimension to this. And there's so much, I believe, in this meeting, certainly symbolic, no doubt, but we pray for something much more to come from this. We pray for at least an opportunity to begin considering is there reconciliation. Now, this is not the entire Eastern Church, right? Because unlike the Latin Church, the Latin Rite Catholic Church, which in the split of 1054 remained intact under the leadership of one pope, the patriarchs, there's a number of those depending on the practice of the Orthodox nature. But I think Russia in particular is so important. When you dig into the message of Fatima and you know that there was a request by our Blessed Mother that was recounted by Sister Lucia, that was a desire to see Russia, first off, be embraced in an official consecration of the Catholic Church of Russia, which, to my understanding, wasn't done just once, but a number of times. There are those who like to deny that or question that, I guess, or seem to speculate. There's conspiracy theory after theory that we don't know everything about this, what really happened, and was Russia really consecrated, and so on and so forth. But we do know this. There's been a tremendous change in Russian relations since our Cold War experience of the 1980s. My goodness, right? I mean, it's night and day compared to what it was at one time. And then to see something of this nature, which has not taken place in over 1,000 years, meetings between these two leaders, that's amazing. And of course, Twitter, when I looked at my Twitter feed, it was, oh man, those guys are really old. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're vampires, one person said. Yes, exactly. But I do believe that there's, what I'm hoping here is those who want to deny or doubt or question any sort of authenticity of the Western Church, and certainly in embracing and appreciating the contribution of our separated brothers and sisters of the Orthodox Church, this is huge. This is huge. And of course, you know, if we go back into Fatima and we look at the secrets that were revealed, we know that tragic event, which ended much better than it had to, quite honestly, praise God, with Pope John Paul II in 1981 being shot in St. Peter's Square, as we know happened, and having this occur on the feast of Our Lady of Fatima, it kind of brought into the picture all of these things that were seen and recounted and shared with our Blessed Mother at the apparition of Fatima. And so all of this is kind of coming together, which the other interesting thing in the grand vision of Fatima is a beautiful time of peace, right, that we all anticipate. And this is something that is unfortunately never really talked about enough, because our Blessed Mother said, pray the rosary, right? This was a prescription that she offered. She offered a very interesting way of praying in a prayer posture that looks interestingly like that of our Muslim brothers and sisters, a prayer fashion, a prayer form, posture. And and promised a time of amazing and beautiful, even worldly and earthly peace. So as we look at all of this, is this the beginning? I think is a question we could ask, and we would hope that's the case. And we, those of us who certainly have a devotion to our Blessed Mother, we trust what she says. We want to see this fruition of the predictions or the possibilities, perhaps, the messages of Fatima. We want to see this happen. And I think, you know, for me, as I see this today taking place, I'm hopeful. I'm incredibly hopeful that maybe this would be a time. And we certainly know this, even if it's not full reconciliation to the point where there's some sort of total connection with the Eastern Rite churches or the Eastern Orthodox, this is a big step. There's improved relations. They're going to walk away from this meeting with a joint understanding of what that looks like. Now, apparently, even Vladimir Putin claims to be Russian Orthodox. And as the story goes, he has claimed that he was baptized as a baby, even in secret, because his father, who was a communist, did not want this in his family, apparently, but his mother had him baptized anyway. So he seems to be loving this and promoting it. And anything that can be an opportunity to say this is a new and different and better climate of Russia from Vladimir Putin, if the Olympics wasn't enough, let's have our patriarch go and meet with the Pope, right? Maybe that will show. That will be a sign. That will be an olive branch that can show just exactly what we're doing here. Now, other challenges there when you get into the Ukraine and you look at things of that nature, and we want things to be better. But, you know, I mean, you also got to realize how we're looked at. And it's very interesting if you look at foreign television, especially those who have no love for the U.S., what they will say about our barbaric practices, what they will say about the inhumane treatment that we have, the lies that we spread, the propaganda that we perpetrate. It's interesting. It's interesting to see that other side. And we have that same sort of, especially after those of us who live through this Cold War period where, you know, we got Sting writing songs about, I hope the Russians love their children too, right? Because it was fear. It was just constant fear of when does World War III break out because Russia has launched the missiles at us, right? We were expecting this any day. So to come from that and then to see this type of relationship blossoming and potentially even growing into something more, it's big. It's really big. Fatima, the Russian legacy, political history, all of this coming together. I mean, I think this is it's a big deal, right? We should be praising God for this, and a beautiful time to see this happening as we enter Lent, right? I just think it's all perfectly timed and a beautiful thing to consider, and again, something we can pray even more for because we want to see. Well, this is Jesus' prayer, right? That they all might be one. Why would we not want to be one? More to come. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, posted that story from USA Today, by the way, about the meeting today over on my Facebook page, Leo C. Brown. Back in just a moment. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, almost hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith in those intersections. Of course, when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer, and we certainly need to extend our prayers for the community out in Arizona after what happened there this afternoon in the Phoenix area, which, not sure, I think the tales are very sketchy at this point, but two high school students found shot to death, and I'm not sure we know, if there's more known, it's not released as the recent information, but, you know, two 15-year-old girls died due to gun violence, so it's tragic, it's horrible, and something that we must pray for. So our hearts go out to them. In an interestingly related story, a story of violence, not necessarily gun violence, is this crazy situation in Columbus, Ohio, where in a little strip mall restaurant, which we all know very well, we go to these places, we have them in our town, we typically feel pretty safe going out to eat in these establishments, this particular one right next to the cell phone store. There's a pretty popular place in our hometown here, right next to the cell phone store where we're in all the time. And not that that matters, it has nothing to do with it. I'm just saying that this is what a bizarre environment for something of this nature to happen. And what happens is a guy comes in wielding a machete. Fortunately, does not kill anyone, but injures several, a couple enough to be hospitalized, one of whom is apparently in critical condition. And fortunately, they catch him. I don't think that we have any motives or we know anything at this point, but it was good eyewitness reports and people kind of keeping an eye out on what happened that managed to track him down. But my goodness, I mean, you know? Now, we'll see where this ends up. This particular individual seems to have a Muslim name, right? So, Somali ties, apparently, which we see a tremendous amount of Boko Haram activity in Africa. And who knows, right? I don't know. Another story we don't know enough about yet. But why did this individual do something of this nature? It's a Mediterranean restaurant. He walks in there wielding a machete. Which, of course, comes down to there are those who want to enact tougher gun policies. I think responsible gun ownership is the important practice. I think that responsible gun purchasing, of course, is something that must be regulated. There has to be some degree of regulation. I'm not saying that we need to have a national gun list database where everybody's in there and you can go and, you know, that's been disputed. But what do you do with something like this? Because now we're in a world that How do you control that? Someone might have this particular weapon, or somebody could fashion a weapon, right? What do we hear in Scripture? Taking our swords to plowshares, right? You could do it the other way around. I'm pretty sure in the Rwanda uprising, there was, I don't hold me to this, very little gun violence used. It was machete-wielding individuals who managed to murder how many hundreds of thousands? Close to a million? 800,000? Is that what it was? I mean, ridiculous, right? I may have some of my numbers off here, but that Rwandan genocide was just, it comes down to what is somebody willing to do? How capable are they? And how coordinated are they? That's what we saw there. If you've never seen that movie, it's a, from what I gather, a very accurate depiction of what happened in that tragedy, and a very riveting and moving movie worth investing your time in. So Hotel Rwanda, which is just painful. But here we go again, right? I mean, another one of these. And who knows? Again, I know it's a little bit too soon to have a tremendous amount of accurate, well, anything at this point, again, is just is simple speculation. That's really all it is, and we can't do anything more with it. But it's tragic, and, you know, all we can do is pray, hope, and don't worry, right? Because if you happen to be in the restaurant next to the cell phone store that you enjoy, you got to keep on enjoying it, right? What was the, I think it was, I want to say it was, and I've mentioned this before, but I think it was C.S. Lewis who basically said, when the bomb comes, let's be doing the stuff that we're always doing, right? Let's not be huddled down waiting for the bomb. Let's actually be out there being people of joy, being people of life, being people of embracing everything that we normally would. Let's not wait for tragedy to strike. Let's not prepare necessarily for tragedy to strike in a way that would prevent us from enjoying what we do as human beings, right? Who have been given the opportunities to have the freedom, really, to be blessed, the freedom to experience grace, the freedom to understand that the God's got our back. And I heard Mike Allen talking about this the other morning. I thought, what a powerful illustration. And that is that, as he was explaining, and I caught him talking about this, so I don't know what led into it, but basically, as he was saying, you know, Jesus doesn't come to save you from drowning, which, wow, what a powerful thought of this. He comes to drown with you so you could be resurrected together. And I just thought, well, yeah, there's certainly a metaphorical understanding of that, no doubt, but there's also a very, very real understanding of that. And to know that that's what it means to be a person of faith, to have a confidence, a holy confidence. We talk about that all the time. It's not an aggression. It's not a boldness necessarily that looks like something that could be disdainful or perhaps even distasteful. And we know there are those who live their faith like that. We know that there are those who stand on something that is expressed as faith, but because of their overzealousness, it's hard to deal with, right? We know those. We know them. But we don't have to live like that. That's not what it's about. But we can embrace the grace that's there and realize that God's got our back with some sort of confidence that looks like something, even amid the fears, even amid the challenges. I want to get into this. I found this terrific post. I probably won't have time to dig all the way into it, but I think it's really telling of where we are in our culture that, and, you know, people say stupid stuff to people all the time. I say stupid stuff. I know. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. We speak without thinking. We say things that are insensitive, whether we realize it or not. But men in our culture have been getting a very bad reputation for a long time, right? The sitcoms, the movies, were depicted as buffoons or idiots or incompetent. And this was a Huffington Post article, which I thought, you know, this is great. It's a wife and mother basically affirming her husband, who is the father and a very devoted and responsible father. And you don't hear this kind of stuff, right? And she gets into this story about how she's at this particular event without her kids. And they're like, oh, where are the kids? Oh, they're home with their dad. And it's kind of like she gets this, yeah, okay. Well, kind of like, well, let's hope the house isn't set on fire when you get home, right? Because now the Neanderthals are in charge. And what do you expect? It's going to be crazy, of course. So what are you going to get when you get home? And then for her to walk through a very just beautiful affirmation of her husband and what she can trust, right? What she can trust. She knows that they They are good. They're in competent hands. They're in their father's hands. They are there with every bit of comfort, every bit of security, every bit of connection, every bit of attention that they would in any other setting, right? Now, my wife for business on time to time is out of town for extended periods. She's spent 9 straight days away last year and a couple of other trips that took her away overnight and into other trips here and there. And, yeah, I mean, she goes confidently knowing that I love the heck out of my kids, and that's all she needs to know, right? That we're going to be good. And I think it's unfortunate when we get into this daddy daycare deal, or, oh, so he's babysitting the kids, as she says in this. She's like, no, he's not a babysitter. He's their dad, right? So it's really beautiful to see this. Again, there's a little bit of crass language to some degree, probably nothing more than most of us use anyway, but it's worth reading through and the comments in here as well, and it's posted over on my Facebook page. You can find it there, Leo C. Brown. More to come. We'll be back in a moment. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit BreadboxMedia.com.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Over on Facebook, Leo C. Brown, I posted a couple of interesting stories that, one of them, I think, could affect many of us, depending. I don't know. Do we know? I mean, I think online privacy is one of those. It's a big challenge, right? I mean, I think anybody who, if you were an enterprising young person looking to get into something that could probably get a lot of traction right now, whatever you could do in cybersecurity, how to find a way to make your online experience more secure, probably something that would do really well, right? And as it turns out, I posted this again on my page, slate.com has this story. You can get a Netflix, an activated Netflix login of someone's account, someone's active account, for 25 cents at certain websites. So how you find these, I'm not sure they get into it, but it's out there. And apparently there have been those situations where people have logged in to their account and discovered, why do I have these movies on my watch list? Why am I watching a movie right now? This doesn't make any sense. So illegal duplication used to be the big thing, right? Because you could sell these cheaper copies, bootlegged copies of movies. Going back to the days of VHS, of course, this was happening. But now it's piracy of a completely different nature. Your password, your active password, somehow through malware sites or something, and we've heard of these warnings before that, and Snopes seems to think the jury is out on this, the flashlight app, apparently, right? That's a big one. And when I know when I got a new phone recently, I couldn't find the flashlight. I'm like, isn't that just a feature in the settings? Isn't it one of the primary functions of cell phones these days? They become flashlights very easily. I could not find how to turn it on. And in a bind, I downloaded a flashlight app. Not that I am assuming that I'm pirated now, but who knows, right? Who knows? I think that it's one of those things that kind of like back to safety. You just don't know. You take every precaution. You take every step imaginable. You can try to make things as secure as possible, but you just don't know. I know that Ted Cruz has at least one less supporter after today, and that is a young woman who apparently was in his recent television spot that was apparently somehow bashing Marco Rubio. I haven't seen this. I don't know the context of it, but it was some way, shape, or form focused and targeted directly against Rubio. And in this, apparently, there was the primary actress in this television commercial. It turns out she has a past in adult film. And when they found this out, they pulled the ad after the production had been done, after the money had been spent, after all of this. And she apparently took to her Instagram account saying, really disappointed, right? And who wouldn't be, right? You got this opportunity. And from what I gather, she's had other roles. There were legitimate roles. I'm not sure when that happened. I'm not sure how long ago it happened. But apparently because it happened, that was it. Ad's gone. Because Cruz, who certainly builds upon the evangelical and Christian base, obviously did not want that potential challenge coming back at him. Which, I don't know. I see things completely different. I think that if, now granted, I mean, I would even go this far. This is how crazy I am. I would even go as far as to say, even if she was actively in that, that's not what this commercial is about, right? Now, I wouldn't put a commercial slamming Marco Rubio or anybody for that matter. I wouldn't design a commercial that is there to make my opponent look bad. I know this happens. I know the mud gets slinged. I realize that. But this is not what we do. It's not ethics. I've talked a lot about ethics in journalism, and this is one of those. As responsible journalist, you don't slander someone, right? You don't put someone in a position of libel because you don't treat them that way. You have an ethic, you have a respect, and you tell stories, right? You present facts, you show things for what they are, and you let others decide. You don't try to make somebody look bad. But I know politics is a completely different thing. But again, I wouldn't take that ethic in the first place. But I would defend this individual, right? Especially if she says that was then and this is now, right? 20 years ago, yeah, I did that. Yeah, that's all I knew to do. That's how I got my break. I discovered I could make money. I could put food on the table. I could pay my rent, whatever. And I did that, but that's not what I do now. And what a powerful statement it would be for a politician to stand behind someone whose life has been changed, especially if that is that's who you're going for, those who value life change as Christians, evangelicals, conservatives. You would hope that someone would embrace that. Maybe that's too difficult of a story to tell. I don't know. But it certainly looks like an opportunity to me. And I think this every time I see someone fall from grace. When I see someone fall from grace who is in a position of authority or a position of some sort of celebrity even. We've seen this in our own industry. We've seen this in churches and communities. These things happen. Why can we not make this a better opportunity to show what life change looks like, even when something is discovered, to show what true reconciliation looks like, to show what real grace and mercy looks like? I mean, that should be the number one hallmark of the Christian lifestyle, is look how they love each other, right? This is supposedly how we'll be known, by our fruit. Are we really bearing that fruit? And is it showing in any real way? And I think when we have these opportunities that seem to present themselves daily, right? We know this. There's always an opportunity to embrace someone that is dejected, to embrace that individual who everyone else wants nothing to do with. It's kind of like the Good Samaritan story, right? Here's someone that everyone walks away from. But if we, in every attempt at mercy, reach out to that individual, that's a witness, right? That's a witness. Todd Warner, who is a blogger and will soon be embarking on his own radio program, which is exciting for him, he posts very little, very powerful little images and sayings and quotes on his Facebook page quite frequently. And I reposted this and got absolutely no response or even a like, but that's okay because it's G.K. Chesterton basically saying, I believe in getting into hot water. It keeps you clean, right? And why not get into that hot water with this, right? Why not with this opportunity, this especially, or something of this nature, see what you can do? Because again, it may be one supporter, but my guess is if she was a Cruz fan, she's not now, because now she's had this bad experience and you can just forget about this ever coming around to support, I'm sure. But there's so many of these chances that we have. We've been given second chances. Why do we not give more? Why do we not look for those times of stepping out there a little bit? Yeah, getting yourself into a little bit of hot water. Because maybe it's going to be viewed as something that isn't the most popular, isn't the most proper. This is not how we conduct ourselves. This isn't the way we do things. I think I mentioned this briefly, and then we were with Father Michael White yesterday, and I don't know that I really got through the whole thing, but you know, I was speaking to at a Catholic school to middle schoolers, and I simply basically gave them the permission to question, because I know they're going to question, right? We all question. And I give them the permission to be mad at God and to be very frustrated and to be just angry in your prayer. And I give them the permission to lash out in that anger in a very real way, to be downright angry and asking every possible question when things don't go the way they want them to or expect them to, especially when they know they've been faithful. And I could tell the reaction was a little tense, like, okay, what's this guy? Who did we bring in here? Who is this heretic, right? But ultimately brought it around to trusting the Holy Spirit, even in those times of frustration, and realizing that God will answer prayers, maybe not the way we want them to be answered, but the way we need them to be answered, if we're willing to work through that answer. Sometimes it is a wrestling match. For me, it's pretty much always a wrestling match. But you know what? That's okay. Step out there. Get in the hot water. It'll keep you clean, as G.K. Chesterton says. So, as we move on through Lent, in any day of the week, it doesn't have to be this special time of grace in this special season, we'll find these opportunities, right? See what happens when you explore them. More to come. We'll be back, on Monday. That's right. We're at the end of the show. Thank you for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. God bless you.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.